Chapter 11, text 30. I have something in the throat. It will go. Do we have the text behind us? Yes. Tvam pratyak atmani.
Tvam pratyak atmani.
Tada bhagavat yananta. Pratyak atmani tada bhagavat yananta. Ananda.
Ananda.
Matra.
Matra.
Upapana.
Upapana.
Samasta.
Samasta.
Takto.
Takto.
Anandamatra upapanna samasta shakto.
Anandamatra upapanna samasta shakto.
Bhaktim
bhaktim
vidhaya
vidhaya
paramam
paramam
anakaya
sanakaya
avidya
avidya
bhaktim vidhaya paramam sanakaya avidya
bhaktim vidhaya
Durantim vivesyasi namaham iti sarudham Durantim vivesyasi namaham iti prarudham
Durantim vivesyasi namaham iti prarudham
Tvam pratyak atmanitada bhagavat yananta
Tvam pratyak atmanitada bhagavat yananta
Anandamatra upapanna samasta shakto
Anandamatra upapanna samasta shakto
Bhaktim vidhaya paramam shanakera vidya
Bhaktim vidhaya paramam shanakera vidya
Durantim vivesyasi mamam iti prarudham
Durantim vivesyasi mamam iti prarudham
Vam pratyak atmani tada bhagavatyananta
Vam pratyak atmani tada bhagavatyananta
Anandamatra upapanna samasta shakto
Anandamatra upapanna samasta shakto
Bhaktim vidhaya paramangshanakel avidya
Bhaktim vidhaya paramangshanakel avidya
Durantim vivesyasi mamam iti prarudham
Durantim vivesyasi mamam iti prarudham
Yes, please.
Tvam pratyagatmani tada bhagavati ananta
Tvam pratyagatmani tada bhagavati ananta
Anandamatra upapanna samasta shakto
Anandamatra upapanna samasta shakto
Bhaktim vidhaya paramam sanakera vidya
Bhaktim vidhaya paramam sanakera vidya
Bhaktim vivesyasi mamaham iti prarudham
Bhaktim vivesyasi mamaham
Om pratyagatmani tada bhagavati ananta
Om pratyagatmani tada bhagavati ananta
Anandamatra upapanna samasta shakto
Anandamatra upapanna samasta shakto
Bhaktim vidhaya paramam shanakera vidya
Bhaktim vidhaya paramam shanakera vidya
Durantim vivesyasi mamaham iti prarudham
Durantim vivesyasi mamaham iti prarudham
Yes, Mataji please.
Tvam
pratyagatmani tada bhagavatyananta
Anandamatra upapanna samasta shakto
Anandamatra upapanna samasta shakto
Bhaktim vidhaya paramam shanakera vidya
Bhaktim vidhaya paramam shanakera vidya Durantim vivesyasi mamaham iti prarudham
Vam
Vam
Yu
Yu
Radyak Atmani
Radyak Atmani
Unto the Supasoul
Unto the Supasoul
Tadaa At that time, Bhagavati,
unto
the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Anante,
who is unlimited,
Anandamatre,
the reservoir of all pleasure,
Upapanna,
possessed of.
Samasta,
all.
Shakto,
potencies.
Bhaktim,
devotional service.
Vidhaya,
by rendering.
Paramam,
supreme.
Shanakai,
very soon.
Avidya,
of illusion.
Grantim,
not. Ibetyasi, you will undo.
Mama,
my.
Aham,
I.
Iti,
thus.
Rarudham,
firmly fixed. Translation. I should give you the context in which this verse appears. It is a discussion, or you could say an instruction, by Svayambhuva Manu to his they are related family vice through a line, family member Dhruva Maharaj. It's an important instruction which is given after Dhruva Maharaj had fought a battle which was unjust. He had been angered because one member of a tribal clan had attacked and killed his brother, and Dhruva was the king at that time, and he thought, I must now show this whole tribe, this whole people, who is the rightful king. You can't kill the king's brother. But it was only one person who did it. Anyway, Dhruva Maharaj, anger boiled over, and he annihilated practically the whole race of Yakshas. These were the people who, from whom this murder had come. So Svayambhuva intervened with other saints and advised Dhruva Maharaj in a proper way. I'm saying this because then you can understand the verse and how it may relate to you. This verse will explain that often we are in our own little world, so to say. The Sanskrit terminology is we are in our false ego, ahammameti, which is like a knot in the heart. And then our judgment is blurred. It's not correct any longer, and we do wrong things. So here's the translation for you. When you regain your natural position and render service to the Supreme Lord, who is the all-powerful reservoir of all pleasure, and who lives in all living entities and the Supersoul, you will very soon forget the illusory understanding of I and mine. And you come back to your natural position and you render service to Krishna, who is within all living entities. You will soon get out of this illusion of the false ego of the I and mine. Good. Perfect. Dhruva Maharaj was already a liberated person because at the age of 5 years he had seen the Supreme
personality of Godhead. A young saint. But even though he was liberated, he was for the time being afflicted by the illusion of Maya, where he thought of himself as the brother of Uttama, Uttama was the name of his brother, in the bodily concept of life. The whole material world is working on the basis of I am mine. This is the root of attraction to the material world. But if one is attracted by this root of illusory conceptions, I am mine, he will have to remain within this world in different exalted or nasty positions. By the grace of Lord Krishna, the sages and Lord Manu by the grace of Lord Krishna, the sages and Lord Manu reminded Dhruva Maharaj that he should not continue this material conception of I am mine. Simply by devotional service unto the Lord, his illusion could be eradicated without difficulty. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gaura Bhakti Vacharine Nirvishesha Sundarvati Ashaya Vaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna
Grantim vidyasi mamam iti prarudham.
Translation. Thus regaining your natural position and rendering service unto the Supreme Lord, who is the all-powerful reservoir of all pleasure and who lives in all living entities as your Sura soul, you will very soon forget the illusory understanding of I and mine. Do you wish to sit in the temple room? Should we make a little room, or you will translate? Are you all right, Ramananda? Here, yes. Maybe there is more cool atmosphere, or oh, Ramananda, I'm residing under Ramananda. He is above me in another apartment. So my neighbor, kind. So this is a very important verse today. I feel it is important both for the beginner of the path of Krishna consciousness, but it may be especially important for those of us who are for a longer time already practicing. And I really pray to Srila Prabhupada that I will be able to explain it nicely. And I request all of you to give me a good hearing, good attention, because I do have a lot of notes, but if I would read the notes to you without any personal, let me say, insights, you will maybe see it as too theoretical and it will not really touch you. But in order to connect with you, you need to connect with the subject matter. If you are with your mind all over, I will not be able to catch understand what level I have to talk and what examples I have to give to make the subject clear. There is something in spiritual life where a person may give his very best effort, but because he has overseen one or even two very important understandings, no matter how much he tries, he will not actually be able to move forward. And this anchor, so to say, or this point which can stop all of our spiritual advancement is really the false ego, who's there in the heart, very close to the soul, and who can, so to say, influence the very ground, or the very, yes, the basic understanding from which we work. It's possible, in other words, that while we engage in the supremely enlightening processes of Krishna consciousness, like chanting the holy names, that because we have not the right understanding of who we are, and we maintain a wrong understanding, we will get it all wrong. Our motivation is wrong, our expectations are wrong, our attitude is wrong, everything can be wrong, although externally we may do all the activities. I would like to give you an example which I experienced a few days ago. I live in a lake ashram, and for my birthday one very nice devotee had given me a rowing boat so that I could have some physical exercise. And a week ago I decided to just think. I had to prepare one very important subject matter for the life school in which I'm working, and I needed to think about it before I could write it. So I decided, let me go on the lake. I found a nice place in the shade with a rowing boat. I chanted rounds, I made notes, I studied there, and then I wanted to to go back because for some time was, and I started to row back, but I noticed I was not moving. I started to row more, putting more energy, but I was not moving forward. I stayed in the shade of that tree under which I had chanted it was a foolish little mistake I had done. I had tied my boat on the tree and I had forgotten because you don't go every day with a boat, you know. I had forgotten to untie the boat and I was rowing and rowing and rowing, and I felt really so foolish. I'm even not daring to look at you because you think this is the greatest fool we ever met, and maybe you are correct, you know, at least in this aspect. I was so much in my thoughts, in my preparations, that I had just forgotten this little point. I made a huge effort. I still feel a little muscle tension because I was really doing my best. No matter how hard I worked, I didn't move even 1 centimeter. Maybe 1 centimeter because the rope was coming longer, but not 10 centimeters. So in Krishna consciousness, if you keep this false ego, which is comprised of really two understandings, I am this and this, an identification, and this and that is my thoughts, my newly repaired thermos, little Samsung monster. Those who only hear the audio, it's a mobile telephone with 50,000 functions to distract you. So on. As long as you keep, as long as you are in this little world, you will really not be able to taste the beauty of Krishna consciousness. In Harinam Chintamani, saintly Haridas Thakur expresses to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu this point very much. The Lord had requested him to tell about the 10 offenses which block our progress in Krishna consciousness. And now he says, please hear, O Lord, the lowest of all the offenses. When this particular offense is present, he says, pure love for the holy name will never arise. He says, this is now the lowest. It's the verses. And then he explains what it is. If one has heard the glories of the transcendental holy name of the Lord, but nevertheless continues in the materialistic concept of life, thinking, I am this body and everything belonging to this body is mine. And if he does not show respect and love for the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, that is also an offense. And then he says, if a person continues to think in terms of I and mine, he is worthless like a pile of ashes. Have you ever tried to use a pile of ashes to light a fire? I think no one of you has tried, but if you would try, the fire which you put in that pile of ashes will never ignite the pile of ashes. Ashes cannot burn any longer. So you can put even a torch in there. You can hold your match for for a long time in the pile of ashes, it will never start to burn. So if you, this is an example which wants to talk about this, if you keep on, if you keep staying in your own little world of where you have a certain understanding who you are, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm a pharaonical temple president, I'm a well-versed cook, I'm a woman. Even here, Dhruva Maharaj, I'm the brother of so-and-so. If you keep in this light, you will spiritually not really become what we say in our ISKCON slang, fired up. You know, you will not become enthusiastic. You will not become full of Krishna consciousness. I noticed that for some of you this is still a little bit too philosophical, and I will now go and reach every one of you with a little story which explains it so good that you think, oh yes, I can see your point, Maharaj. Once there was a caterpillar who lived on the ground, and he would eat for his bodily maintenance rotten leaves. This is the preferred food of caterpillars, in fact, in case you didn't know yet. And it also was very happy if he would get some stool. Any stool was good. Bird stool, mice stool, rat stool, the vast variety. He would live in this. So in this place lived also a butterfly who would watch caterpillar when he would go and fly. And one day he thought, this butterfly, this caterpillar, this very poor person, he eats only this unmentionable food. I want to do a favor to this caterpillar. And he went to the caterpillar and said, do you want to really eat something nice? Yes, the caterpillar. Do you want to see something which is so beautiful? Said the caterpillar. Do you want to smell something which is just so wonderful that it proclaims the glory of God? Yes, the caterpillar. Then come with me. I know a rose garden. How will I come with you? Said the caterpillar. I can't walk so good. And flying is out of the question. No problem, said the butterfly. I take you next morning by the butterfly airways. I will somehow catch you, and then I will fly with you. I'm very strong because I eat the dust of the roses, and I want you also to feast on this most exquisite foodstuff. The morning came, but before the sun rose, the butterflies thought, better I take some proviant with me. Do we say in English proviant? Andrew is my English coach. It means like what you take when you go for a journey. It's
provisions.
Yes, your provisions. You take it, and when you are hungry, you eat it. Like when we drive with a car from Berlin to Radelich, we will take something with us, some samosas, if possible some yogurt, if we have enough Lakshmi to buy yogurt. So then we will take the samosas, dip it in the yogurt, and happily eat, and then continue our journey. Or buttermilk is also good with samosas. So this foolish caterpillar thought, what if there's not enough to eat. You all give it, it's not good. Better I take some provisions with me. But because he didn't have any pockets, he only had this big nostrils which served as storage. So he went to some first class stool which he had reserved for later, and he stuffed it in his nostrils. And then he was ready for the flight. He said, now you can take me. And the butterfly took him and brought him to the rose garden. And the first thing the butterfly said, can you smell how wonderful it is? I'm trying, said the caterpillar. Not really. I can't smell anything. Mm-hmm. You can't smell it. It is so sweet. It is so fragrant. You can't smell it. No, said the caterpillar. Your rose garden is not there. Close the eyes and so on. It remained in its own little garbage bird. Let us say it from that word. The bird of fakers. So, and the butterfly said, my God, what's wrong? He took the little creature, he flew with it, and he could understand he was talking as if the nose was closed. And he looked and he saw, my God, he has something in the nose. And he brought the butterfly, the caterpillar, to a river and shook the caterpillar in the river, just like you shake a dirty piece of clothes. And then he saw, bloom, some dirt was going from the left nose, bloom, some dirt was going from the right nose. And then the butterfly took the caterpillar back and said, smell now. Wow, said the caterpillar. Wow, is that gorgeous? And this way, then we've got to discover the new word. My dear devotees, I'm happy that you don't laugh about this story, because it's our own story. We also keep our wrong concepts with us, our aham mameti. We keep it not in our nose, but in our heart. It's even worse. And as a result of this, we have actually not much understanding of the glories of the Holy Name. That's why Haridas Thakur describes this as the lowest of all attitudes and so on. It means if you stay in this place, if you stay in this little bubble, you won't lift the anchor. My dear devotees, you must know that according to Shastra, between you and God, there is one big mountain. And this mountain is called Ahamameti, the mountain of false ego. There are two stones in this mountain. I am this. I am an older devotee. I'm a German. I let me speak about myself so that no one feels offended. I can offend myself and then get away with it. But I am already 62 years old. Do you know I'm more than 45 years in the Hare Krishna movement? But you have to give me not one garland. That is what everyone gets. You have to give me two garlands in the morning. Because I'm not ordinary devotee, I'm an extraordinary devotee. I'm very famous. I have a web page. Do you have a web page? No. Then you know this. I think very valuable concepts. I'm known as a very mystic person. You know this. Ahamameti is the anchor, is the mountain between God and the living entity. And the only way out of this constructed illusory world is a very particular path. It's not an easy path. It's a steep path. It's a path that not everyone can walk at the same time. You have to go one by one on this mountain path. It's described in some shastras as very narrow, as sharp as a razor's edge, you know, very narrow. And it is called the path of Sharanagati, or in South India you would say Prapanam, Prapa, and so on. It's the path of surrender. You have to surrender the false ego, like our little worm, our caterpillar, had to surrender, give up. He had an experienced guide who helped him in that and who got the thing out of his nose. We also need an experienced guide so that this ahamame gets out of our heart. Because, my dear devotees, it's sometimes not so obvious. Often the whole world can see it that you have it, but you can't see it. It's such an anchor. The whole world knows Maharaj. Because you want two gardens at the morning on the strength that you think you are so special. We can see you are suffering a lot from ahamamiti. But if someone would tell me and say, you want two gardens? This is crazy. I would think, you are crazy. Because you don't understand that I have a web page. It's like this. When you have these glasses of ahamamiti, you see things wrong. Everyone sees that you are wrong, but you see you are right. And you know what it is when someone thinks he's right or feels he's right. He will use his reasoning power to establish just how right he is. So there, in the scriptures, Haridas Thakur says there's one path which can help you cross this particular mountain in your heart, that is the path of Sharanagati. Then he explains it in Harinam Chintamani, 13th chapter, text 6 to 7. He says, in brief, the path of surrender to the feet of the Lord means, first, to accept everything which is favorable for devotional service. Second, to reject that which is unfavorable for devotional service. Third, to believe that Krishna will protect me if I surrender. Fourth, is to always identify oneself with Krishna's devotees. And you think, I belong to the family of the devotee. Then Krishna is our father. You know, he is our Lord and our master. He will maintain us. He will take care if I surrender to me. If I surrender to him, I don't have to be worried. And so on. Then, to always feel inability without the help of Krishna, I think this is a very nice point. And then, finally, to always feel oneself inferior to Krishna, even though one may have full capacity to perform something on his own. I like especially these two last points, to always feel ability without the help of Krishna, and then to feel oneself subordinate to Krishna, although one has abilities. I was thinking about this very much because one very nice devotee helped me. You know, I was working on one particularly difficult philosophical part of our philosophy, and I must admit, I had worked on this for 4 years, and I really couldn't understand the point fully to my full satisfaction. So the devotee said, why don't you pray to the Lord that He inspires you and gives you the understanding? And I did this, and I did this when I was in this in the boat under the shade of the tree. No one saw me, and I just prayed very intensely for some time. My Lord, I'm supposed to give lectures on this subject, but I have not yet penetrated all the things which are still unclear for me. And how can I represent my spiritual master when I'm not clear about this? And then I somehow on the way back I could understand. I remembered some verses from the scriptures which gave a different perspective on the subject and made it clear. So I also like this very much. I talked today with a very capable devotee who is very rich, very intelligent, who has built many buildings, and now in Radha days they want to build another big hall. They think about this during festivals. All our guests can peacefully sit and not sit on top of each other's head and so on. I asked the devotee, so you will build this? He said, see if Radha Gopinath arranges. This is how the path of surrender goes. You may be fully capable to do something, but you should feel unable without the help of Krishna. This is how a surrender devotee thinks. Every morning he prays to the Lord, let this become very successful by your mercy. What can I do? I can just try to, I will do my best, with my intelligence as far as it reaches, but ultimately you are the factor to make everything successful. If you are not there, my Lord, if you are not blessing this particular thing, then even though everything may be in place, money, people, permissions, everything, something will be built and then it will crash because we made the architect had some black hole in his brain for a second, and there was a statistic, a mistake in this, is it called statics? In the statics of the everything became a pile of dust. This can happen. This has. So, my dear devotees, my point in this lecture is a simple point is that you must, when you want to chant, you must every day first surrender. If you stay in your little world, it's like rowing a boat with an anchor which is not yet lifted. You can do all the concentration techniques which you have learned. You can even chant some mantras before. You can do this and that and the other thing. But if you don't surrender, if you don't earnestly and sincerely beg for the shelter of the Holy Name, you will not really move out of this world where you think, I am the maker, I am the doer, kataham iti manyatam, Jesus Krishna, the leader, someone who thinks, I am the doer. You still suffer from this wrong identification with a material body and a material mind and a position and all this little world of the false ego. Yes, yes, please think about this. And this simple thing may be the reason why you have not yet made the advancements which you need to make to go forward. Haridas Thakur says, this is so sad, this is the lowest of all, but there is one way to overcome this. Think that Lord Krishna is your only wealth, not your concepts, not your ego, not your, well, this is mine and this is mine, not your position. Think that Lord Krishna is your only wealth, and worship Lord Krishna's feet. Turn away from material sense gratification and chant Lord Krishna's holy name. How do you like this? Strong, isn't it, Ramana? Oh, strong dose in the morning. Think that Krishna is your only wealth. This is the most important thing you have in this life. You somehow understood by some mercy, Krishna is there, God is there, He can do everything. Turn away from your own little world of material life and worship Krishna. Like we discussed yesterday, how do I worship Krishna? Well, think of Krishna. Then, do some service for Krishna. Then, worship Him like that's what we do when we come into the temple here and take part in an aarti ceremony. Do you know that the priest who is usually standing behind the curtain, he is now our priest also there, she's almost disappearing behind the curtain. When she does or he does a puja, he is the representative of the congregation, means the devotees who are here in the temple. This is worship. Come for the worship. Don't ever avoid the worship. Otherwise, you might keep your ego on the throne and not rather Gopinath, Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm. Yes, some strong words need to be said. And then the last point is, offer your obeisances. Get down, mister. Get down, sister. Just offer your obeisances. Most important when you're on the ground, offer your mind, my Lord, what can I do? I'm begging for your support. This is how the only path which leads over this difficult to negotiate mind mountain. My dear devotees, even great yogis like Dova Shamuni. Dova Shamuni. The yogi, like anything, we can travel with the speed of mind anywhere in the universe. He suffered from false ego, and often became very angry and needed to get a lesson from the Lord, who said, you are such a neophyte, the devotees are close to me, you are not close, you don't even see me, you see my reflection, but you can't yet see me. So my dear devotees, I'm talking with this with some intensity because I had a very deep transformative experience after I had a surgery which almost killed me. It's not the surgery, but afterwards I was caught a sepsis. It's called an infection of all the organs of the body. And I was almost dead. I also looked, when devotees saw me at that time, they ran away from me. I was really finished. And I the only thing I do is I need to separate from everything, and I went on a personal retreat in some beautiful mountains, which are brothers and sisters of the Alps. It's in Bosnia I went, and a few devotees took wonderful care of me there, and so on. And I had to think carefully, why have you almost died? And I could see that my spiritual life was based on the wrong understanding. I had some wrong motivations and wrong concepts, which were very subtle, but by Krishna's mercy I was able to see this. And I remember one walk where I was still, you know, I had to walk every day because the legs didn't work and the whole body didn't work. And the best thing was walking with sticks. I had sticks to keep me there. I wouldn't fall left and right. And then I listened to a lecture. One lecture I listened to Prabhupada, he said, what do you do for eternity? Oh, I'm just at the moment taking care of my body, Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, and I understood the body, you're not the body, the body will go. In a few seconds the body, you know, what is 40 years or 50 more years that you live? In the face of eternity, it will either go today or tomorrow. So, what do you do for eternity? Oh, good question. This question happened yesterday. One devotee brought his computer into my room and it started to speak. There was a lecture of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, and it touched my heart in the same, in a similar way. He said, unless you first understand that you are a soul, you're not all this, something else, you cannot begin your bhakti. You cannot begin. It has not even started. Because what you do is you're rowing in your boat with the anchor. You're not moving forward. This understanding, good morning, this understanding that I am not the body, I am a part of Krishna, is the understanding that you detach yourself from this knot of Ahama Medhi. And especially this is important when you chant. When you sit down to chant, let your illusions be somewhere else. Sit down with a simple understanding. I am your eternal but a little lost servant. Please, now my Lord, I'm praising you today. I'm chanting your holy name, and when I go with the devotees, I will glorify you in kirtan. And at that moment, you will enter another world. You will really feel that you are. It makes almost like you can almost feel the paradigm shift. It's really something which anyone, even a beginner, can experience immediately. The moment you start to surrender and you give up your old little world and you come to the position, as we always say, as a humble servant, just a part of Krishna, trying his best, it's almost like you're in a new world. Oh, everything looks so nice. Wow, no longer any anxiety. No longer any misunderstandings, no longer any depressions and suppressions and repressions and regressions and everything like this. There are 100 words like this. And where you saw a problem, there is no problem. but there's no death. What dies? I don't die. It's the body. Nothing, not even politics or the internet can disturb you. Or strife, or someone doesn't want it. I'm talking with all the problems which we deal with in our little world. Nothing can disturb you. Not even if you're not in good health, no problem. I am a soul. And from that position, the chanting is nice. If the butterfly would not have helped the caterpillar, the caterpillar would never have enjoyed the fragrance of the rose garden. So if the scriptures, if the merciful acharyas would never have taught us to give up our false ego in our wrong world which is surrounding this, then we would never ever have the chance to taste the real benefit of Krishna consciousness. In the workshop, we will learn a very powerful way to nuke the ego, that is an American slang, means to put some little explosive in the ego, you put it there, you run, and then out of it's gone. It's called the Buddha Shuddhi process, which we will learn in relationship to chanting the holy name. But for those of you who do not attend this workshop, and that is the majority in this room, please make yourself familiar with the path of surrender in a very nice way. I always recommend this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given us a beautiful song collection. It's called Sharanagati, and it is available in the prayer book. It's available on our wherever literature is sold. I can well imagine it is available in the bookstore over across the road. It's a very nice prayers which you can chant, which will do you very good. As you chant them, you will get the right understanding, and something will come in your heart which will help you to move on. I want to thank you very much. Let me see, there are a few minutes left. Let me see. Yes, there are a few minutes left to 9. And if you have any questions, you can ask the questions now. See, let's see. Lucy. I said yes, Lucy. Ask the question.
I want to know how to switch to this understanding that I am a servant, because I can say the sentence, okay, I'm a servant of Krishna with my intelligence, but somehow my heart doesn't feel it. What can I do?
Okay. It's not practical terms of servant. See, we don't feel for these things because we feel for something else. Very often, devotees or people of the spiritual path have what is called in psychology a big shadow. That is something they are not aware of. In the Vedic terminology, we call it raga, attachment, dvesha, hatred. It's our condition. Asmita, ego, ignorance, avidya, asmita, ego, raga, attachment, vesha, hatred, and avinivesha. They are absorbed in something. This is a philosophical discussion. Sometimes I find out we need to translate this philosophy into modern terminology. It's something like the shadow. It's something which we are not aware of, our attachments, our absorption, our conditioning. Others can see it. Oh, Lucy, you are, they can say this and that and the other thing. I don't want to say this in public. But it's you who cannot see. It's almost like something is behind you, a shadow, but because you look in this direction, you don't see where it is. And that's why it is difficult to understand and to accept really that I'm a spirit soul. Now, the way to deal with this is you should be in theory open that there is something which I give it, and you are from Germany, you need it very clear. I'm blinder Fleck, a blind spot. You must in theory accept that there's something which holds you back, which you are not aware of. That's how it starts, with this humility. I'm trying, but there must be something. I can't say it. And then, if you are really willing to know what this is, a surprise for you, it will be a little painful, because if it would be easy, your mind wouldn't make all this work to push it away. But if you're willing to hear it, and I mean willing is something different than saying I'm willing, Vaishnavas will be able to help you. But these are Vaishnavas who live with you, who see you on a day-to-day basis. They will see it. But then you must know, spiritual understanding is not always a matter of intellectually understanding it. You need blessings really to overcome this. Lord Krishna speaks about this point in the Gita when he says, I, who am residing within their heart, with the torchlight of knowledge, dispel the ignorance, the darkness born of ignorance. Something like this. So what he says is, he takes care of the shadow, that inner darkness, which is there. If you become his real devotee, I have seen devotees, sincere devotees, Vaishnavas, who really are offering, surrendering to Krishna. Krishna always helps them to see these things. Don't worry. Turn to Krishna. Krishna says, because even if you understand cognitively. Wenn du ein kognitives Verständnis darum hast, for those of you who like the German language, there's still something inside of you which will go against this understanding. We all know we are spirits, or but we don't act because there's something, attachments and everything, which is still there. So we need divine help really to get some knowledge into this inner darkness. So Krishna describes, I, dwelling in their hearts with a shining torch of knowledge, dispel the darkness born of ignorance. It's in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, if you like to take the down and notes. I always forget the numbers. Can someone help me? 10? Sorry? 10, maybe 11. Around 11. Maybe 11, 12, and so on. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's so important for us to understand. We need to turn to Krishna to get this ignorance out of the heart. Just our own understanding, and even sometimes the help of others, is not enough. Turn to Krishna, then you will cross over this ahamamiti. You know, this I am mine. And by the way, even great devotees are taught about this. It's not so easy. We are speaking now about the real stuff, the more deeper understandings of overcoming conditionings. Draupadi was taught by Krishna about this. You remember all this after she was, some bad people wanted to take away her cloth which were covering her, and she turned to so many kings for help. She was in a public assembly, and only at the last moment she turned to Krishna, and then the help came. So you need to learn this point. If I have anything practical here, turn to Krishna, pray to Krishna. This is Sharanagati, the path of surrender, and then the Lord dwelling in the heart will help you. Krishna. I wish you all the best. Please, I will pray for you, and please pray for me also. This is a serious subject. We will go deeper into this subject in the workshop, where we will give different exercises based on Haridas Thakur's very practical understandings, and I will now stop this lecture, stop this torture. I wish you a wonderful breakfast with a good appetite and good digestion, and we see each other when?
10:30.
Hare Krishna.